This is Canberra Live with Rod Henshaw, 1206.
2CC.
It's 25 to 4. We'll have a look at local sport later this half hour with Mark Vergano, our local sports commentator. And after 4 o'clock, well, as we know, it's going to be a rough ride between now and the 21st of May as politicians and wannabe politicians vie for the hearts and minds of Australian voters. We'll do a little bit of crystal ball watching with John Warhurst, Emeritus Professor of Political Science at the ANU. That's coming up right after the 4 o'clock news. But on a lighter note politically, according to the 2022 Edelman Trust Barometer, only 52% of Australians trust the government. That seems like a bad statistic, but is anybody really surprised? Lots has happened over the past few years to inspire a lack of trust, especially through the pandemic, and a few other little bits and pieces here and there on the fringes. But on the line to explain is behavioural investigator at the Mind Group, Sharon Box, is with us. Sharon, good afternoon.
Hi, Rod. Thanks for having me, and hello to all your listeners.
I got the title of your thing wrong, I think. The title of your
thing. The Mind Hush Group.
That's it. Okay. I knew that. Just testing you. Look, for a start off, what's the Edelman Trust Barometer? Tell me.
It's just a survey that's basically done worldwide, and they ask consumers their levels of trust in the government. So it's a worldwide survey, and obviously the statistic of interest to me was Australia, and as you mentioned, the current trust levels are only around 52%. So, and as you said, that's no surprise really, given the last few years with broken promises and backflips and misinformation and infighting. So it's really no wonder, but it is quite a sort of shocking statistic. And here's another statistic for you. Mm-hmm. Without specialised training, most people only have around a 54% chance of knowing when they've been lied to. So looking at those two statistics, it's pretty dismal.
Of course, the old joke, which, you know, it's rolled and tried joke and probably too hackneyed, but how do you tell when a politician's lying? It's when you see his lips move, was the old one, which that was, you know, for so many years. These days, they actually quantify it with a barometer.
That's right, and actually one of my...
So, yeah, are you really suggesting that politicians do lie? Surely not.
there are times when there's information that's not in the public interest. So they're careful sort of... I guess, careful in their approach and what they sort of say. So they do have a tough job, but as we all know, we do really have to take a lot of what's said with a grain of salt sometimes. And having sort of an increased ability to really observe behaviour is helpful because we can actually see a lot of really useful behavioural indicators which can help us, when we think that they're not sort of being honest with us, and that's really helpful. So behavioural training is becoming a huge industry, hence the development of my business from a few years ago.
Can we actually distinguish between what is lying, which is a pretty strong word, to some poly that might get up there, a question without notice type of thing on the hustings, and make an honest mistake? Ask Albo, he made a couple today. But that was beside the point. I don't think he was lying, he just didn't know. But honest mistakes, you know, oh, gee, I got that wrong. Surely the first thing you do is fess up and say, sorry, I got it wrong. It wasn't a lie. I didn't mean to lie. So how do you distinguish between those two, or how does a barometer distinguish between those?
Well, I think this trust barometer, I'm not sure of what questions were asked, but that's just a very generalised trust factor just in general. But as you say, there are times when we lie, and because we don't know, you know, the answer, and we do make mistakes. But I think the difference is we have to own up to when we make a mistake. What often happens when people are lying, they'll often not own up to it, and then they might deflect the question, talk about something else. There's a lot of things that will happen when we're trying to get to the truth. Most of us, we want to cooperate. You know, if there's an allegation or something's happened, we want to actually try and clear ourselves as soon as possible. So we need to be cooperating with whoever's asking questions and so forth. And what we're seeing is when that doesn't happen, we then sort of think, well, there's obviously more to the story. And we're seeing this a lot playing out in politics over the past few years. So, so understanding someone's baseline behaviour as well is a really crucial starting point. We need to know how they normally speak, what their body language is like, and basically when they're comfortable. But when they're uncomfortable, we'll start to see leakage of a lot of behavioural clues, and that's really useful for us.
Do you go into body language and all this sort of thing to identify if they might be either telling a white lie, or a little porky, or an absolute blatant out-and-out lie?
Absolutely. Look, we've got five channels of communication, Rod. We've got our faces, our bodies, the way we speak, our tone and pitch, and also the physical changes that happen in our bodies. So we can't control all of these communication channels at once. So when we're, you know, not being honest with somebody, there's going to be some leakage. So what we're looking for consistency with what the face and the body is showing. So if, and also emotions are crucial. So emotions drive all of our behaviour. So if we're talking about something in a positive manner, but we're flashing fear across our face, well, that's a clash of communication. So, you know, that means there's something not quite right there. Either they don't believe what they're saying or they're lying. And as you say, there's white lies through to the really malicious deception. So we all tell little white lies every day to ourselves, to each other, because we want to be kind, to be courteous, maybe not to embarrass ourselves or somebody else or protect someone. But it's when those lies have consequences, when there's something at stake, that's when we want to know the truth. So we're looking for all these different behavioural leakages and inconsistencies between all our communication channels. And there's lots of things that we can look for once we know how somebody normally behaves. When we see deviation and a change from that, from an uncomfortable question, we can start to sort of gather some really good intelligence there to think, hang on, that's really uncomfortable. What's happening there with them? They've just changed their eye gaze, suddenly just slumped and lowered their head. You know, they can't make eye contact anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about the eyes. The eyes have it, as I say in the house, but the eyes have it. But that's it's not such a smart comment, really, because, or not smart ass comment anyway, because the eyes can tell you a hell of a lot when you can see it on TV mostly. You know when they're fudging it by their eyes. And as an old media trainer from many years ago, that's what we used to teach our clients, actually, keep your eyes straight. You know, don't go darting around.
Yeah, the eyes, you know, but we need to be really careful, Rod, because we need to look at the context. So if it's a very sort of high stressful, high stakes situation, you know, people do get nervous, they get stressed. So, you know, and that does come through on the
eyes. You can mistake nerves.
That's right. But what we're looking for is when we just see these really obvious changes in their eyes. So if suddenly they just can't make eye contact with you when they could before, well, that's interesting. You know, if they constantly look down when answering an uncomfortable question, well, that tells us, well, they're not very confident in what they've just said. So we do need to look for their natural eye movements and what they normally do when they're not under stress. But just because somebody doesn't look you in the eye doesn't mean they're lying. So we have to be really careful with that. We have to look at the context.
Well, I think wrongly, I mean, getting back to media training, I think these days you see a politician up there at a press conference, especially when it's televised, they don't look around. They don't look around at all. They look at an imaginary camera or an actual camera and just keep a fixed grip. They might even look to the side when somebody's asking a question, but when they go to answer it, they don't look at that person. They look straight ahead as if to say, you know, I'm not going to be caught out here. I think it's a shocking technique. I really do.
That's right.
It looks about as sincere as you know what, but they've been advised to do this. Now, I really can't see. You know, you can tell a good politician when he sort of engages with the questioner and engages with the people around him and casts his eyes around to each and every one of them.
But making that contact. Yeah, when you're just staring sort of straight into a camera, straight to one point, you're sort of you're not really cooperating. You've sort of got a lack of awareness of what's going on around you. And when you're trying to really stare someone down, it's almost as if you're convincing them that you need to believe what I'm saying. So that's very telling, and it's a strategy like you've just said, it's not a good one.
Yeah, I guess you could always go way back to the day in the 90s when Graham Richardson wrote that book, Whatever It Takes, and it says it all. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
Well, but you're basically, the bottom line is, you know, well, you lied, yeah, well, whatever it takes. That was it. As far as Richo was concerned, if you had to lie, well, so be it. And he made you know, not a good thing. I think he had a fair bit of tongue-in-cheek when he wrote it, but I don't think it was far from the truth in some cases. What about truth in politics?
Look, you know, it's really interesting. When we lie and when we're not honest, it's normally spoken through our words, but we can't rehearse our body language and all these other communication channels we have. So it's really interesting when we watch politicians sometimes, and sometimes they catch themselves out, and often we'll actually hear them contradicting themselves within a few sentences. So I've picked up on quite a few chats around the place lately where I've heard the sentence, you know, you have to ask them, which is basically somebody not being, you know, cooperative. Or
it's a cop-out.
Yeah. And we have a statement, he certainly used race in the past on several occasions, And then a few sentences later, he's a compulsive liar. Now, that's two very different things. So, of course, we've got all these inconsistencies and clashing of words, and we've got a lot of expressions of disgust and anger. We know when a politician's getting angry or disgusted, because we'll see the nose wrinkle up when they're disgusted. We'll see the sort of the frown and the lines on the forehead and the lips starting to roll in when they're angry. And the more the lips disappear, the angrier they become. So we've seen that a lot, especially over in WA. When the mouth disappears completely, we know that's real rage.
Sharon, you're going to have a field day over the next 6 weeks, aren't you?
Oh, I know. I'm actually going to John Howard's breakfast tomorrow morning, so that'll be fun for me. It'll be a smorgasbord of behaviour.
You'll be taking notes.
I will be.
A great pleasure to talk to you, Sharon. Thanks for spending time with us, Asava.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time, Rod.
Sharon Box, behavioural investigator at the Mind Hush Group.